Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Roundup show, and we're here, of course, for the last show of the season. And what a way to finish the season with the guys, of course, through the FA VARs winners. Of course, we can sit in the background there. Of course, Romford, and what a day, guys! It was on Saturday. I mean, Dan, I mean, we talking about it off air. I mean, couldn't have gone much better, could it?
No, yeah, everything went to plan. As we was all saying, it was a perfect day to from arrival at the stadium. When we got there, we was treated like it was Champions League final or FA Cup final. The buzz when we got to the boys, it's just something we'd never ever do again. I mean, it was unbelievable. As I said, on Monday we was very disappointed with the result and what it meant not getting promoted, but I wouldn't swap Saturday ever again. Them moments will live with me for the rest of my life. So yeah, absolutely, yeah, brilliant.
I mean, one question I've got, you've first season, in management, and you've won the FA VARs. What do you do in season two?
I'll sure appear so I've got to call it a day. That's it, no more. No, I think you just have to remember what it was about, enjoy that. But the boys will probably tell you ultimately I'm a winner if I play them at a game of pool afterwards in the bar. So whatever game I'm into or whatever we're doing, it still means that much to me, and it would do next season when we start back over again. But that one's just one for the history, one to live with us, and one to keep for keeping the bank. I mean, the boys will tell you more. Obviously, I was out there, but the whole thing, the whole walking out, the national anthem, every part of it. I mean, I've watched it back, I think, four times now so far, all 90 minutes as well, not skipped a beat.
You did want to just watch the second half then.
No, I watched a bit of the first, yeah. I have to keep watching the first bit.
I mean, guys, before we go into it in more detail, I mean, for me, there was one real piece of absolute class in that whole game, at the weekend. And I don't know if you guys agree with me, but you've just been beaten 3-0, and Great Wakering give you a guard of honour. I mean, that for me was just absolute world class from them on Saturday. Steve?
No, good.
No, I mean, that's, I mean, the players will know more than me. That must have been really, really, I say difficult for them to do, but to actually sort of decide in that moment, that's not something you pre-plan. You don't sort of say, right, okay, if we win, we'll do this, and if we lose, we'll do that. And Colin will tell you as well, those guys were distraught when they came up, weren't they?
Yeah. I don't know if we would have done that, would we, Dan?
I can't say I would. Marcus rang me today actually to congratulate us, and I had a good conversation with him. And yeah, if someone had mentioned it to me, I would have done it. But thinking at the time of just losing 3-0, I don't think it would have come to my mind. No, and when it was happening, we was all saying thank you. And to be honest, they're really nice guys. We all get on. A couple of their players ended up at our club at the end of the night to have a drink. There was no bad thing across the whole match, which made it even better, to be honest. Makes the day better. And he was very, 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 very nice on the phone earlier. I know he's had a couple of bits of grief from certain bits and pieces, which I think is an absolute disgrace, because what he's done there is a remarkable job, and should be proud of getting to Wembley. And he got to enjoy the day for as near enough as long as we did, to be honest with you. Obviously the second half and the last bit was better for us. But the whole build-up was still brilliant. The whole day before, the touring round, and the experience will live with all 22 players and management and staff and chairman and secretaries of both clubs. So yeah.
I mean, from the league point of view, Ash, I mean, you were there. I mean, what was that like to have two teams from your league in actually in the final to start with? And what a fantastic occasion it was.
Honestly, it was unbelievable. Everyone from the league was so proud of the boys getting there from both teams. A lot of friends at both clubs from the committee. It was just, but it was a win-win for us, right? No offense to Romford. Once that semi-final draw come out, it was let's hope, fingers crossed that we can get one there. Fingers crossed we can get two. And look, to walk around the Royal Box there with a bit of a swagger, because we're the top league of the day. It was a really, really proud moment. There was a lot of people involved with the league, been involved with the league for a long time, with tears in their eyes, and that was a real moment to take in, to be honest, for myself. I remember going to watch Athletic Newham beat Littlehampton a couple of years ago, and then obviously what happened with Newham getting knocked out, and then going to watch Littlehampton in the final, it was heartbreaking, you know, because but it did give you that thing, we can do it, we can get a team there, and then look, we've had two teams there, and what an occasion, what a day. What a second half, I'd say it was a good second half. First half was quite nervy to watch for both teams, I imagine. But and as you touched on, that guard of honour, it was a real proud moment for the league to kind of look at. I noticed the non-league paper picked it up as well, you know, and wrote about that. Like Dan, I've watched it a couple of times on the telly. It's still surreal. And that moment was special. That's what I'd say.
Chris, I mean, what about yourself? I suppose one of the questions I asked you, you know, after that sort of, I don't know, 50-50, shall we say, sort of red card in the semi, I mean, was you a little bit concerned about whether or not the actual thing would come through in time? And at any time, you know, if you thought you got to a final, were you a little bit concerned that might sort of curtail your plan?
I mean, yeah, I think after I got sent off, I think I spent the next 3 days barraging Colin's phone to see if I'd be suspended for the final if we got there. And I think Dan got sick and tired of me chasing him about it as well. But I mean, obviously I had the doubts of the team was flying after I got sent off, and they battled well in the remaining like 85 minutes in the first leg, and then they were superb in the second leg. I was like, is my place? Am I going to get selected, sort of thing? I had to really try and fight to get back. But no matter what side would have been picked to go there on Saturday, I would have been proud to even just be a part of it, let alone start and lead the side out. But yeah, I was rather nervous, should we say, a bit of a squeaky bum.
So. I suppose one of the other things as well, I suppose from Hassan, I mean, I take it you've watched the game back.
I've watched some parts of the game back.
Right, so you go, you mean.
The highlights a lot.
I watched it back a few times myself, and there's a bit of commentary in there just after Mr. Deering gets given man of the match, and then all of a sudden you pop up and score a second goal, and the commentator says he would have done that 5 minutes ago, he would have got man of the match. So have you tried to get that back off him?
I did hear that, and it's a nice thing to be said. but I mean, I'm happy with the win. I'm happy with my goals. If I had to choose between scoring two goals, three goals, or getting man of the match and all the recognition, I'll just take the goals. I don't mind being kind of crap and just scoring goals. So scoring goals is my love. But I did hear that, and I think that's a good fairy tale ending to the story.
Hmm. And Jake, you must have been in for a shout for man of the match as well, mustn't you? Clean sheet.
Yeah, although I didn't really have much to do, if I'm honest. It's probably one of the more quiet games of the season. But if you would have said to me before the game that like, you wouldn't have much to do, but you go on to win it, I would have taken it all day long.
What was that? What was that like though? Going out there, you know, just going out on the pitch, because you see, you know, a young man going out there playing in goal, playing at Wembley. I mean, it must have been phenomenal for you.
Yeah, no, it was an unreal experience. But like after speaking to a few boys, like how do you top that? Like at 20, you've gone and won at Wembley. Like I still probably got another 20 years in my career. So like, how do I go on and top that?
Oh, then next year.
I'm planning to go back if anyone wants to join me. I told Steve that.
Yeah, back to back winners. Finally. Lovely.
That must be why us lot didn't turn up against Sporting Ben Gowden. Wanted to go and do it all again.
Yeah, exactly.
It was messing with your madness on Monday, then I get it.
No, I don't think Dan believes that for a second, to be honest with you.
He said he
would. I mean, Steve, you, Colin. I mean, everybody that you spoke to, other than the players, everybody was so pleased for you guys. You know, so many pictures, so many people. You know, when we came over the other side of the pitch, that were just, you know, probably as excited for you guys as they were for the players to win it. What did that feel like to get that sort of adulation from, you know, 3,000 odd people that were there at Wembley? You know, Romford fans, either regular fans or fans that just come, you know, on the odd occasion. I mean, that must have felt incredible to have that sort of feeling from the fans, knowing, you know, they're literally saying thank you to you guys as well.
Well, I mean, I didn't even think about it. It was Colin that first came up with the idea, wasn't it? Colin said, we've got to get down on the pitch.
Yeah. When you walked over there and you see everywhere you looked, it was a different face. like ex-players, your family, Steve's family. I mean, it just so happens that my family and Steve's family were about 3 seats apart. So everyone around him must have been welly and headachy. But no, it was unreal. When you, the amount of people that just come up and like wanted to, you know, well done, unbelievable. I've never thought I'd live through something like that.
I mean, the only thing that was probably better for us than being on the pitch was seeing like Keith and Paul on there as well. Because
they loved that. They loved the whole weekend.
Two of the most, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but two of the probably most unglamorous jobs. You know, I spoke to Paul this morning and rang him just to thank him for all he'd done. And of course, he was absolutely buzzing. And I said, just remember this, when it's 10:30 on a cold Tuesday up at Clacton, and you're putting all the socks back in the right way round, and they've cut them in half again, and what have you. I said, just remember that day and how good that was. But I think it wasn't that Colin and I went over there, it was just that we were representing the club. I think if Mike Woods had gone over there, or anyone would have gone over there, I think people were just so pleased for the club. But obviously, because Colin and I have been around a long time, we know a lot of people. There were, you know, there was over 100 ex-Romford players there. You know, Mark Reid, our ex-manager, was there. Stuart Horn, our goalkeeper from sort of like 15, 20 years ago. The class of 1992 was there. Malcolm, who used to run Romford Borough Youth with us. You know, Colin's neighbours, friends. It was almost like a surprise party in the stands. And everywhere you looked, there was another person that you knew.
Yeah. Dan, I mean, I saw somebody put something on there today, actually, around the fact that when did you feel comfortable that, you know, you knew you'd won it? I mean, that's the sort of question I asked you. There was people putting that on social media. When did you actually feel comfortable? Was it the final whistle?
Once we went 2-0 up, I felt we was in control of the game, to be honest, in the first half. And as we said at half time, couple of little tweaks and it's there for us. Once we got the two goals, even when I spoke to Marcus earlier on the phone, he said the same thing. I knew they had to open up a little bit. And we got to Hebe on the pitch, who's got, he's the quickest player I've seen. And we knew we was going to get him away on the break and cause problems that way. So at 2-0, I felt, next 10 minutes, get through this, don't concede nothing silly, and we should be okay. But I said to my assistant, I'm going to make this. I always wanted to get Lee Hersey on and Newbie New for the reasons why. Not that Lee's a bad player, but I didn't want to waste a sub because I had Darren with cramp and I had Remy was on a booking and was getting close to getting another one. So we was hanging on. And I said to my assistant, after 87 minutes, I said, I think we're done there. Even if we did go down to 10, I said, I don't think it matters. He was, no, hang on. I said, well, he can't score 3 goals in 3 minutes. I said, surely not. But that's how it makes you feel, out there. It's never over until it's completely done or whatnot. So,
someone said to me, you put him on just in case they did score and it went to penalties.
Yeah, he would have been good for that. I mean, no, the boy's a good player, no question. But he's been a big part, a massive part of the team this year, and he's led us. And even when I come on, I watched the TV again. You can hear him vocally organising people. He's been a great character, and I want him to just be a part of it. Been excellent for us this season.
Can I ask one question, especially to probably Jake, Chris, that might have been a bit closer than in no disrespect than Hassan was, but for the second goal, were you a little bit nervous that he was going to give a penalty when Junior took the player out, but there was a supposed foul in the box? At any time did you think,
I was literally just behind Junior. If you see in the footage of it, I'll take the ball as Junior tracks back behind him. I'll be honest with you, I thought, try and play on and get the ball up the field as quick as possible because it might try and sway the ref's mind that play's continued, and it's not. At the time, I thought it was a penalty, but watching it back, Junior doesn't actually touch him. Talbs tries to sort of initiate the contacts and go down, but listen, if it would have been given, I could have seen why, but yeah, I was nervous at the time because I thought, oh no, here we go. But fortunately enough, the ref didn't think it was, and correct in my opinion.
What's written, Jake?
It was a strange one on that day, but I spoke to Marcus about it earlier and he said to me, what do you think of the penalty? And I said, I think it's a penalty. And he said, I don't think it's a penalty. Wow. You don't hear that very often, do you?
Bit of luck there weren't no VAR though, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think though, Jake, did you think it was from your view?
There's obviously been a few times this season where the decision has gone against June. Like, he's just got it in him that he don't want to let anyone beat him, which obviously that's exactly what you want in your defender. But if I'm honest, and where I had a great view of it, June just stands off him. Like, he's done what Gaffer's told him to do for the last couple of games. Just let him do it, because we've got Doe and we've got Dow at the back, and obviously our clean sheet record this season stands what it is. Like, we don't often concede. But no, I personally don't think it was a penalty. I think he just stood off him and then he tried to buy one. But thankfully, the referee, for once, saw it for what it was.
I think there was possibly, for me, on the day, there was probably somebody was sitting there. I think it was a sponsor. It was your friend, the sponsor, Steve, that was sitting in front of me in the Royal Box on Saturday. And he came up with something to me, it was one disappointment from the whole day. We'd love to have seen you and Colin with one of those heart meters on, just to see where your heartbeat was during that game.
Clinically dead, I should imagine.
I had some mates over the far side, and just before half time, they took a photo of me, like, from the other side, and sent it in our group chat, and like saying, "Do you do know this is a cup final?" And I was sitting there. So I had to send one back at 2-0 with me smiling.
But for me, one of the funniest things was, you know, as Dan said, it is spine tingling. Stood up and we did the national anthem. Everyone else had sat down, and Colin and I were the last ones to sit down. We just about sit down. He said, "Like, whatever happens, you ain't going to cry, are you?" And I let him down again.
Well, yeah, and I've got footage of that, just so you know. I was lucky enough in the Royal Box to sweet talk one of the security guards to sneak down to the front row of the Royal Box and sit on and crouch down by one of the seats there to actually film the last 30 seconds of the game, but with no football in it, just on Colin and Steve. So I'll let you see that. But it was you could just see the complete release in both you guys' faces when it actually did physically happen. But
so proud, David. That's what it was. Just yeah. So proud of them all.
Mm. I think the biggest relief was when the third goal went in. We sort of both jumped up, didn't we? That way, you knew then it was, like Dan said, you weren't worried then.
Yeah, I think we was all jumping up and down at the back. I must admit, when the last one went in. But Hassan, was you a bit disappointed not to get a hat trick then?
I am. I was looking forward to it. I think there was a bit after I scored my second. Well, when I missed my third, it was so like sorry when the right foot shot when it hit the side net, and I was like, oh, is it going to be one of those days I don't get 2-3? When I scored my second, I looked up at the board. And I think I saw there was another 4 minutes to go. So I think there was a ball. Who is it? Because I've seen it so many times. Sam Deering plays a long ball to Tohi. And I understand Tohi being in that position, he wants to cut inside the shoot. But I think I've tried to bust the gut with all my power just in case he sees me and taps it to me and I get the third. So I get the match ball. I think I've scored 3 hat-tricks this season. I wanted another one. Didn't end up happening, which is sad. But yeah, maybe next season.
There was somebody sitting behind me in the Royal Box to half-time and they said, Hassan's not having a great game today. And of course, they were reminded at half time, reminded him after about 10 minutes later, he scored the goal and then scored the second one. I said, if he has a good game, then he's probably score a hat trick. I said, like, going back to the block, sitting behind me, but it was quite funny. But I mean, Chris, what was that like? I suppose, I don't suppose you've done it before, but what was that actually physically like going up? You may have won, you know, trophies before in your life, but I mean, what was that like captaining the side and going up there picking up that trophy, you know, and, you know, up there on the Royal Box? I mean, it must have been incredible.
Mate, I mean, when Dan told me he was bringing Lee on, and we both, like, he said to me, I want Lee to come up there with you, and I was like, too right as well. And then when the third goal went in, I don't know if you see, it weren't on the camera, but Lee come running over to me because I just literally hit the deck and was in fits of tears, like trying to hold him back. And I just said to Lee, I said, this is the maddest thing in the world. I said, we're about to go up the set of stairs that every professional dreams of walking up. And it's just like, little old me and you going up there, and we was laughing. But we had a little joke with Dan as well on the way up. The stairs were so close together. We was like, what are we doing these stairs? One at a time, two at a time, three at a time, because I was just trying to make light of the situation to stop myself from crying. And Lee said to me, please don't you start, because I'll start crying. And then when I get up there, I obviously see Colin and Steve, and I shake their hands, and Steve sets me off again because I can see him welling up, and I can't watch any of it back. I honestly can't. Foe keeps telling me now, like, you never cry. You don't. You've not cried at the birth of the kids, like anything. And I can't even watch the highlights of the game and that moment without welling up and crying. It's just, listen, it's what dreams are made of. And I'll forever be thankful for Dan for giving me that opportunity to walk the side out and to Romford as a club as a whole, because it's what dreams are made of. And they've made it happen for us. So, yeah, it's unbelievable.
I think the one thing about it was as well was that they actually did it as a normal cup final. What I mean by that is they even put the ropes out so that no one could get close to you and all the rest of it when all your fans were over the other side of the pitch. But they still made it special, with all the ropes out and all the rest of it. And I think as Dan said earlier on, Wembley was a fantastic day for both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I think Steve's put a tweet back to Wembley, and I was going to do something similar, because all the staff that met us on the tour the day before, the staff on the day were so forthcoming, so helpful. They made us feel like we was like a Man City or a Man United or anyone who was there, or even England. Like, they just treated us as equals to everyone that would ever play there. And I mean, that obviously makes the occasion even better. Like, I just can't thank them enough for our special. They made it for us, and the things they done, and the day they put on for both clubs. Mm. They were superb.
When we had our first meeting, David, Colin and I, they said, didn't they, Colin? They said, yeah, you will get the same experience that the Champions League guys are going to get. You'll get the same amount of towels, coffee, ice, tea. You know, we didn't know about the player escort. They said, but your day will be exactly the same. The hospitality will be the same. Your guys will get treated the same. You've got the same six doctors and three surgeons and ambulances waiting for you. Everything they gave us is, if you went back on Champions League day or Cup final day, they get no more and no less than us. But why not? Hmm. Why not? These guys have battled just as hard to get there. You know, it was on the telly. I just want to say to Scott, if he hasn't watched it back, they're supposed to be your mates, Scott. They were rotten to you.
I haven't watched it back, Steve. I'm on about my fifth time. Yeah, I've watched it back. I've watched it back. But I did actually say some before the game. I said, boys, feel free. If you want to take the piss out of me, no problem. I said, I don't care. All it does is get the viewings up, hopefully. I said, no problem. Take the piss. Do what you've got to do. But you know what they said to me after, and they said to Dan in the interview, they was like, we really hope, we was hoping that there'd be something we could pick holes in, but you actually didn't have a bad game, which pains them to say. Virgo, it pained him to say.
Well, I think the bit that I heard Virgo say about you splitting your shorts, because you was your shorts.
Yeah. That's ironic, isn't it? I know, yeah. I wouldn't have minded if McLean said that to me, I wouldn't have minded, but coming from Virgo, I thought, yeah, a bit strange, that one.
Did you? I mean, I didn't get to see the trophy game, unfortunately, because I got by the time I got back to the station, all trades had stopped. So it took me nearly 3 hours to get home from Wembley instead of half an hour. But I mean, did you manage to get showered and get back on the TV in time?
Within a minute. Yeah. So I went into, all the boys were saying to me, the boys were like, you got like 15 minutes and you're on air. And then I went out. And literally, as I come out into the tunnel, they said to me, we got 3 minutes until we're live. So, went over there, sorted stuff out, and it was on about a minute before. But they would have been fine. Even if I wasn't actually there, they would have started it and then obviously brought me in just in case I was late. They wasn't going to come in the dressing room and hurry me up. Do you know what I mean? They knew obviously what we'd just done. So they obviously understood what was going on.
I've just had somebody who's sitting behind me, which, because no one can actually see on camera, but someone just come up to me and just said, actually, one of my daughters just said to me, he said, that gentleman has just come on, Dad. Is that Randy Orton?
Yeah, I'll take that all day. Fair play to Jake, mate. He's doing it whilst driving. Multi-skilled and all sorts. Love it.
Did you not get a car when we won?
No, on that one, Steve.
How is your new Isuzu, Jake?
Yeah, got it for the clean sheet bonus.
Well, I mean, Scott, I mean, we spoke to the rest of the lads, you know, early on. But I mean, what was it like for yourself? I mean, somebody, you know, a lot more experienced than the likes of, you know, Jake and, you know, Hassan and you know, and even Finlay and all the rest of it. What was that physically like for you to go out there, you know, into Wembley, play at Wembley, and then end up coming away with, you know, with another medal and winning it for the club and for yourself and for the boys?
Do you know what? Me and Sammy said this to each other a few times, and I think I said it to Dan. Like, it doesn't matter that I'd been there before. Of course, there's been quite a few years in between, so things change. But you could go to that stadium every weekend, and every time you walk out there, you'll get exactly the same feeling. Like, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, just looking around, taking it all in. I mean, we weren't in the so-called proper dressing rooms, but the dressing rooms are incredible. Like, the dressing rooms we were in were incredible. Like, we went round there, obviously the boys were looking, taking it all in. It's amazing. And like I heard Newbie say, the way they treat you there is just so, so good. Like, treat everyone, the staff. But obviously football-wise, it was, I know Dan said it, for me, it was the pressure point for us was the Lincoln game, right? The penalties, that was the pressure point. Once we got over that hurdle, you've done it. You've give everyone, of course, you've give everyone the day, the one of the best days of their lives, the fans, the families, the kids, everyone. So once you're there, of course, you've just got to enjoy the day. But it was just basically the icing on the cake, you know, getting the win, which we were confident about. We didn't have a great week leading up to it, obviously, but we was confident. But it was just, I remember, like, Dan messaged me yesterday. And he said to me, I now know why you said you got like emotional at Lincoln, because of knowing what everyone was going to experience for the next month leading up to it. And then when you actually walk out into that stadium, you can't explain it until you obviously do it yourself. And for me, it was like the people like Finlay, like, he's in school today. It's insane. I imagine going to school after doing that. Like, seriously, like, how he's not got a day off, by the way, I'll never know. But still, going into school, him, Dan Nakapov, obviously Tahib coming on, even the other young lads that weren't in the squad but have played a part in the build-up, you know, they've come on in games, what have you. I see him celebrating at the end. I said it before. I said, you watch every single player in this squad and every single member of staff will celebrate this after, like everyone's played the game. And that's exactly how it was. It was brilliant. That's exactly what I wanted to see. All the young lads getting stuck in, like singing, dancing. It was just brilliant. And like I said, it never gets old. It doesn't matter how many times you played it. I'll tell you, you say to me, I have a chance of going back next year, I'll bite your hand off.
Dan, I mean, Scott just said about how plush it was inside those dressing rooms. I mean, talk to us about your manager's room, because that was just something else, wasn't it?
Oh, it was painful, wasn't it? Yeah. The manager's room's bigger than their dressing room at Rookery Hill, I think. It was, honestly, the TV, there was on the cross the wall. Everything was in there, whatever you needed. Although, the only thing I will say is, we never had that much time to use it. When you get there, I was like, pulled around, interview here, do this, go and speak to these, go and do this, go and do that. We even, and I said it to Marcus, we even didn't go for our corners as much as we normally do for the biggest game of the season, which wasn't right, to be honest with you, but it was all rush. I think my assistant went with Chris to do the captain's talk. So I was doing the team talk, and there was bits that he would, you know, it was could have done with another 10 minutes probably before the boys went out just to get things in order. But they went and done their job anyway, so we was all okay.
I mean, it was like a massive, great big L-shaped sofa, wasn't it? The TV, what, 60, 70 inches? At least. Yeah. Kitchen cabinets all the way around. And it was the most plushiest thing you've ever seen in life.
Fridge fully stocked for you, whatever you wanted, yeah.
No beer in there, though.
No, I've got to find the beers now.
I mean, with it all, though, I mean, you've scored two goals. I mean, what's it been like since the final whistle? I mean, have you become even more of a hero in your sort of local area?
Was this question to me?
Yeah.
The local area? Oh, you know what?
Goals, mate.
No, one second. You see what's happened for me yesterday? I've not even been able to get through all the messages. It took me about 6-7 hours to reply to everyone. I've had so many congratulations, so many people reposting, so many people tweeting me or posting me on their stories. I couldn't even go through it. I think people think I'm ignoring them. I was like, you know what? I've never had. I struggled to reply to 20 people. And I think I've had over 400 messages of people congratulating me, DMing me, reposting me, saying they enjoyed the goal, the second goal, obviously. So it's all been surreal. I've only just about gone through the highlights and seen some of the bits that I liked. And I'm going to try and watch the game probably tomorrow, tonight or tomorrow.
I mean, I suppose the biggest question is going to be that all sort of Romford fans will want to know, how hard is it now then, Dan, and you know, to keep all these boys together for next year? Or is it going to be easy now?
We're having a week off. We're having a week off, David, and there'll be a few messages sent out over the next 3 or 4 days. The problem is, these boys ain't getting any younger, and there was a few of them said they was going to turn in at the start of the season. The one more year last year. So I think a few of them will come back for one more year. I don't think that'll be their last one. I think it's hard to go out with a winning. Well, Chris will answer that. You're one of them, Chris.
Mate, listen, I've told both the missus, mate, that if we won at Wembley after, I think it was the Hilltop game, I said, if we win at Wembley, that'll be it, I'll hang them up. But like you said, it's I don't know, it's like relit a fire. And it's like you just said there, mate, go out on a win. I was all intentions of hanging them up after that. And I truly don't know. I'm now undecided what to do. Obviously, I'd love to still be involved, but it's like you say, going out on the winds made the sort of the furnace grow stronger, and sort of there's a bigger fire in my belly now.
Surely you got to keep going, haven't you? You've got to keep going, Chris and Scott and all the rest of them. Everybody's got to keep going. You're going to keep going, Scott?
Yeah. I haven't mentioned it, to be honest with you. Like, I've always said, obviously, listen, you get, it's not, it's obvious, you get older, the body don't do obviously what you want it to do like it used to. But obviously I try and play as much of the game with my brain as possible. But I've always said until the legs fully give up on me, I'll continue playing. Yeah. I've not even given that a thought, to be honest with you. Obviously I have my stuff with the telly and the TNT work that I do. Sorry, TNT work that I do. But yeah, in terms of playing, I can't, for me, it's the match day feeling. I don't know. Listen, that's going to be one of the hardest things to take when I do eventually retire, is that match day feeling when all the boys are there together. And we've had some good ones this season. But regardless of that, win, lose or draw, it's still a great dressing room. This year in particular, it was brilliant. So yeah, for me, no, I'm not looking to retire, mate. I love it too much.
So I mean, next year then, back it all starts again. Oh, it's not that long away now, is it? Really, really think about it. Sort of early July.
It's going to be about 2 weeks, I suppose. 3 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, is the aim next year, you know, probably the same as it was this year, to get into step four?
I never want to commit to anything, to be honest, David. There's so much that happens at non-league level. We've got to talk. Me, Steve and Colin, they've got to sit down. They might sack me. Who knows? You never know. But we, Steve and Colin, they've got to sit down. We've got to talk about budgets, what we can work with, what we haven't got, what the plan is, what the aim is. So I'm not going to sit here and commit to say get to step four. But if you give me that group on Saturday for the rest of the season, I would get to step four 1,000,000%, yeah. But keeping that group together after some of them boys showcasing themselves out there and what they've done all season is going to be tough. The youngsters, I've been getting phone calls about before Wembley was even closed. We was getting these phone calls around Christmas time about some of them. So obviously they all know we'll be here for them. They love the club. They've got on well. Their parents have enjoyed the club and everything else. But we'd never stand in anybody's way, never. And some of these youngsters can really move on to next level. So we'll go out and probably recruit again. As I say, some me the management team and some of the senior players will have a chat and see what the plan is between us. See who we think we can attract, see who we think we can keep. And then we'll set our plan with what we've got in place from there, you know. But obviously, we'd love to get promoted and we'd love to be up the top of the league. And anyone that knows me or anyone's played for me will probably know that I'm not a very good loser. So I've got to get near the top. Otherwise, it won't be that much of an enjoyable job for me.
Steve, Colin, you're going to sack him tomorrow?
Not tomorrow, no. No, I don't think so. I mean, Dan knows what we think of him and what we think of the players. And it's not just managing Romford Football Club that we're after. It's someone who can create and develop relationships with supporters, with the staff as well, so that they feel included. They're not taken for granted. I like players who go and talk to supporters over in the bar. I don't like big-time Charlies. I don't like people who are only there for the money and what have you. Look, we know it's a results business and it's all about doing well and getting points on the board, winning competitions, etc. But we as a club are very proud of the reputation that we've got. First email I got after the final was from Alan, the chairman at Lincoln. Really, really pleased for you guys. There's a special bond between us now. Let's go and get step four tomorrow. Three people from Jersey Bulls came all the way over from Jersey to support us because of sort of the relationship that we've got with them. We sold 6 replica shirts in Lincolnshire and Grimsby and areas like that. And if you look at all the social media tweets, really pleased for Romford, really pleased for Romford. And Dan's part of our DNA now. So for me, it's important to have people like that. Because if you've got a manager and a management team that know that, and a senior team as well, you know, if I'd have said to them, you know, like, as soon as we said about, like, we want the two guys, Keith and Paul, to be involved, you know, Dan said, well, it wasn't a question. They were going to be involved. They're coming with us on the Friday. I mean, they had mine and Colin's spot, but hey-ho. But he said, they're coming on the Friday. They're coming up on the coach. They're coming for the meal on the Friday. Because those guys have deserved it, because they're the lifeblood of the club. And when you, I want to ask all the players as well, what, because obviously we was on the other side, you must have been out of hearing the noise. When that final whistle went and you ran over there and those guys, I know you've experienced it, Scott, but like, what was it for like you, Jake? 2,500 people just bouncing up and down.
Yeah, no, it was obviously a unique experience. Obviously, the most we'd ever played in front of for me was that Lincoln game in front of 1,500. And then to go and do it in front of 2,500 Romford fans and in front of your family, like, it's everything you kind of dream of as a kid, really, playing in a national competition at Wembley. Like, not long ago, I was watching my mates do that, and now to live it myself is just a dream come true, really.
What about yourself, Hassan? What was it like for you?
So, the Wembley, everything in LA 3 hours, that's all surreal. But for me, mostly, it was just 2 years ago. But this time, 2 years ago, I didn't want to play football ever again. I had an uneventful experience in Gibraltar. I went to Haringey, playing off one leg. Like, I had such bad tendonitis in my knee. They were calling me, come back for pre-season. We know you wasn't at your best, this and that. And I said, I don't want to play football again. I don't want to play anymore. And everyone was calling me, come down, come down. I was also banned for 6 games back then for some incident. And I was not thinking, some of these teams don't want to touch me, so I can't play the whole of August. Then I ended up starting playing again. And then from playing at Buckhurst Hill, scoring, being the top goal scorer, one of the top goal scorers, and then getting signed by Dan to come Romford, I've just been enjoying, loving it. And I told Dan on the weekend that I was looking forward to every Saturday. But I don't even remember at my age, the last time, I could not wait for a Saturday. Midweek games, after work, you've got to go Clacton, 2-hour drive or Stanway, and I'm, you know, stuck in traffic going there. But I'm so excited to play. And it was a time where I just didn't want to play. Didn't want to turn up. Didn't fancy it. Just going through the motions. So all of that, just when I was at Wembley, having my niece there, seeing me score, she said some things, you know, like I run like a girl, it's funny, and be a little bit quick, this and that. But for her to be so happy, apparently calling my name nonstop. So all of that was just exciting. And seeing all the messages from the fans or people that turn up crying because they're so excited. Two of the young boys asked me for my shin pads. Mm. Well, they want my shin pads. But for them, to make them happy makes me happy. Does that make sense?
Did I not see Darren lose his boots?
I heard him gave him away.
That's Dow all over, isn't it? Dow all over.
Probably I don't think they're going to see
him back.
I think one of the funniest things I saw, though, I must admit, was just as I think, if I remember right, I think Scott was being interviewed on the TV, and then he manages to run over as you're just about to pop the champagne, and then he just gets a face full of champagne as he actually gets over there.
Wiggo. Yeah, exactly that. Do you know what? I was chatting to the guys at TNT, and then I see Noobie run past me. So Noobs ran with a trophy. So I thought, right, I've got to try and run here to get over there. And I've literally, just as Noobie's done it, I've come running after, and you just see me literally run across the whole thing of everyone. And as I'm doing it, Wiggo is just full on just spraying me in the face the whole way down. But that was the whole point of it. That's what happens when it's at the front, you know. There was quite a few boys spraying it as well. I think Benson might have been drinking it, actually. No shock there. But, this is what I just said to you, Dave, when I was saying about the feelings before. This is what I mean, like, with Hassan there. Didn't want to play football a couple of years ago. Now he's loving it again. Jake playing in front of the most he's ever played in front of him. And do you know what? On the crowd, I played in front of big crowds and what have you. I'm telling you now, when that first goal went in, the noise was incredible. Seriously, it was. And I was that side, obviously playing the right-hand side. When the goals went in, the noise, it was so... I looked at it and I thought, wow, like 2,500, it sounded like 25,000. Genuine, it was so loud. Obviously, it echoes around the stadium. So just, yeah, I was just so excited. You know, you're looking in there and you're actually seeing, like, people you know. Obviously, my brothers were in there. My mum and dad was in there. So much family. And yet again, like I said, I won there before. And my mum, my dad, my brothers were probably, if not the same, even more excited this time and loved it. And I was the same. And I actually did get asked that question after the game. And I said, for me, it's a different one because the others were playoffs and this was a cup competition. But for me, this one's topped all of them. One, of course, I'm older. But two, it's an FA competition. And doing it at non-league level, the stories in terms of the people at the club, like Steve just said about the kit men, and Dan was telling us that there's the guy who puts out the corner flags, he gets free buses to get every home game, you know, to put out the corner flags, and people like that, to see him in the bar dancing afterwards is just brilliant. I love it. Honestly, I love it. So
you still do now?
Yeah, honestly. I love it. And I was literally looking, just taking it in, looking at the crowd celebrating, and you just see all the different people. It's brilliant.
Well, I was talking to two sets of very proud parents, and before the game in Wembley Way, I was lucky enough to speak to Chrissy's dad. His brother was there, I think, as well, from Morale as well, and also to Finley's parents as well, and you just got the sense from both sets of parents that they were so proud of, like Chris, so proud of Finley, and they kept telling me about how he'd already won two medals already, you know, sort of in a matter of a few days or whatever it was as well, and they were so sort of confident that that Chris was going to do well and Finley was going to do well, and you just got that sense of a feeling of that real Romford family just by speaking to the parents.
Well, you see with Finley, that's an example, because I actually did get told, Judah, I think his mum was a bit of a wreck during the game. She was getting upset and what have you. Listen, your boy 17 years old, like my mum was in tears. I'm 35, so it doesn't matter. Like, do you know what I mean? So, but he, Noobs was the same. I looked along the line as we was lining up at the start with our kids out there. I looked to the right, I see Dan. I looked at Newbie. He was in a mess. And I was just like, but I knew exactly what was going through his head. I knew the feeling he was getting, obviously, with his boy there. I spoke to Newbie's dad after. He said he was a complete mess throughout the game and what have you. And it is, you know what? It's for the people watching and for the families, luckily the game, it wasn't too nerve-wracking because we won comfortably in the end. But for them, it's so much harder because it's not in their hands. They can't do nothing. It's in our hands. And it's the same with Dan. Dan's on the sideline, but it's not in his hands. It's in our hands, the ones that are playing. Mm. So it's tougher for them.
Also on that, no one can hear you out there. It's so hard to get your point across out there because the noise is so loud. I think I was screaming at Chris. I mean, he blanks me most of the time anyway, but he couldn't actually hear me on Saturday. He was getting away with it. And I was talking to Charlie and he was
within probably 10 yards of me, and he was really struggling to hear what I was trying to say. The noise is really, really loud. Like you don't realise what it's going to be. Mm. Remy warned me about it. He said to me, you won't get your point across. And I said, well, I'm quite loud. I normally do. But I couldn't on Saturday. You couldn't do it. You had to wait till half time to really get into what you wanted to get into.
I mean, somebody else said funny to me. I think it was in the first half where when Pinto went straight through somebody in the first half, sort of midway through, and somebody turned around to me. I was the same person that said to me about Hassan. Turned around and went, Newbie got sent off for that in the semi-final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Yeah, listen, I can't say anything on that, Dave, because I'll be digging myself a bigger hole. Well, obviously not now we've won it, so I'll keep quiet on that. But
yeah, but you know what though? On that sums up football, because certain referees are giving it, like Junior's one, yeah, before the goal. Now I've 100% seen referees give penalties for that. Before Sam Deering got his goal, Junior just, it's a little, I'll be honest with you, I don't think so. Like, obviously I'm going to say it, I'm a defender. I didn't think there was enough contact, but you've seen them given. This ref didn't give it. I mean, Dow absolutely smashed into Jake Gordon with a clash of heads. Oh my God. Like, genuinely, every time I watch it back, I keep going like, whack, like, oh, every time. Referee play on, like you said, with the one with Pinto. So it all depends on the officials that you get. But on that side of it, I thought he was quite good.
So what was said? I mean, Dan, you sort of said a little bit on camera, but what was actually physically said at the dressing room at half time? Because we thought we was, you know, we were sitting there thinking, well, you know, we're on top here, but we're just not getting that sort of the break or not getting the chances. What sort of was said in the dressing room between everybody and that turned it around so sort of quickly from after the break?
That was the point. We was on top. What we've been through though, David, in the last couple of weeks, we had a tough week, and there's no question that we've been on top in most of them games. But we hadn't been putting the ball in the net for the last couple of weeks, which was strange because all season we were prolific. And that was then obviously building a little bit of tension between the team as well. And I got into the big man there, Hassan, because I felt the opportunity was there for him. When he got on the ball and when he was lively, he looked very, very dangerous. But he only done it two or three times in the first half, and we felt there was a lot more to come from him. And I basically told him it's down to him now. He's the focal point of our team. He's been the focal point all season. Go and give me a 45 minutes. Get your brain switched on. Work a little bit harder for us. And I think he went above and beyond, to be honest with you. And it wasn't only me. A few of the players got into him. But I mean, it was constructive. It wasn't nothing, not abusive or anything like that. It was all constructive. And the boy took it on board. And I thought he was excellent in the second half. It was unplayable, to be honest with you, second half.
I mean, so Ash, I mean, from the league's point of view, I mean, and you know, you said about being proud and all the rest of it, but you look at it next season from a biased point of view, you've got the FA Vars champions in your league next year.
I mean, yeah, I mean, look, we, you know, it's quite hard for me to sit and say, like, I wanted you guys to get promoted and that, but I saw the heartbreak from on Monday against Bengal. I personally think they played well enough to nick the game, and they'd put a lot of pressure on it at the end. But to see them win it on at the weekend and know that they now can go back into this competition and defend it, I think that's quite a nice thing to take as a club. It gets rid of the disappointment of promotion, and yeah, we've now got them in the league to keep the league. You know, I think the league's been the strongest it's been for a long, long time. And being honest, we've kept a very strong team in the league in Romford, which is only beneficial for the league and our game sort of moving into next season. So look, on one hand, you know, gutted for them not getting promoted and you know, well done to Bengal, but you know, sort of good luck for next season and keep the league as strong as it is has been this season. So
I mean, with Steve, I mean, it's you and Colin, I mean, What can you say, you know, about your days, your actual day with, you know, with your you know, lovely other halves as well? I mean, what type of day was it?
I don't say that because you can see her in the background. No, it was brilliant to be able to do it and to take them, because I mean, the players will know this and Dan will know this. It's sort of a lonely existence if you've your other half sort of into football as much as everyone on this sort of Zoom is, then it can be a lonely existence, you know, and perhaps we take it for granted sometimes that, you know, oh, you know, well, you've put up with it for 30 odd years, so another season won't matter. So it was nice to show them, you know, and to experience what we experienced. I actually enjoyed the game more watching it back on the telly, to be honest and truthful, because watching it the first time, you know, you are, as you say, you're a little bit nervous, and you know, there was a couple of shots that you thought were really close, but then when you watch it back on the telly, they weren't. But the day was brilliant, you know, and I know sort of when we walked over to the pitch, a guy rushed down to me and sort of shook my hand, and he said, "I've waited 63 years for this moment." Yeah, and that sort of, it brings it home to you. You know, it doesn't matter what level you play at, if you support a club, then that's your club, and it don't matter whether it's Romford, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Arsenal, you still feel the same passion for your club. And this is something, if someone said, "Oh, that's something off your bucket list," I said, "This was never on my bucket list. I never ever really, although I got a non-league finals day and sort of like tongue in cheek say, wouldn't this be great if it was Romford? I never ever, ever thought it would be."
Oh, great. Best thing for me after the game was just strutting around in that restaurant with my scarf on and just looking at all them Essex FA lot looking at me. Yeah, strut around with my chest out. Brilliant. Yeah, you know, my wife just said, "Go and have your day."
Was it amazing how all of a sudden how Essex the Romford got after the game?
Yeah.
I mean, Scott, I mean, one of the things for me, what did the boys say to you? Or, you know, maybe off air or whatever else. What do you, Mr. Virgo, Mr. McLean say to you afterwards?
Do you know what? They actually said to me, they were like, they were more, listen, like, I know they had a bit of banter on there and what have you, but they just said to me, in terms of the match, they said, "We thought you was the better side first half. You had a couple of half chances, didn't take them. Second half, you was dominant, you know, come out firing, deserved to win the game, the best team won on the day, you know." They were really pleased. You know what? When we got back and we all sat down, not every single one of them, and obviously the crew, not just the people that are on the screen, there's loads of people behind, you know, cameramen, et cetera, et cetera. And all of them were just so happy. Like, they were, without saying it, they were obviously itching for us to win. Of course, they're, you know, not for either side, but because obviously I was in it, it was just an added thing for them to have me, because I was doing the show after as well. Obviously I was doing the show. I did say to them, it would have been seriously awkward if I'd have had to do the show after pitch side with a runners up medal around my neck. I'm not sure how that would have gone down, and they would have probably given me some stick. But I'll tell you what else, they were really impressed as well, because look, they don't get to see much obviously of that level. You know, they see the national south, the national north. And they were impressed. And it wasn't just us, that was parts of the game from both sides, but they were impressed by a lot of the level of football. And they just said it showed in the second half, we just basically upped it a few gears and it was too much for them. Is pretty much the way that they were saying it. Of course, they said to me about Dan, his first season, you know, like, it's incredible first season. Aaron McLean obviously commented on Hassan, he's a striker, you know, saying about how well he took his goals, he looked dangerous and everything like that. So yeah, I was going through, you know, Finlay Dorrell, like, can't believe the kid's 17, he's at school. So I was going through like individuals and that, but just in general, they were just really pleased. That, you know what I mean? Like I said, they have to be kind of, you know, not biased, but when it was just us, they were just really happy, really, that we got the win.
Absolutely. So I suppose one of the last questions for you then, guys, who slept with a trophy on Saturday night?
Oh, who do you think?
Was that Mr. Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
It wasn't Dan.
God, don't get any look at it. Look, it's over there. They've passed it between them, a lot of them. I'll get it when it needs cleaning, I suppose.
Oh, there it is. Steve's got it. Oh, yeah. Didn't even see that, Steve.
I'm going to try and take it into one of the local schools in the next day or two. The local charity that we work with. I'm going to see if if I can take it down there and it might generate money to them. And then I'll pass it on. So, but everyone will get a chance to have it for, I don't know, or however long they want it. As long as no one forgets where it is like they did on Saturday. I think we used it by 9 o'clock, haven't we?
There was a few drinks flowing though, wasn't there? So we let that one go.
No, I mean, the day itself, you know, went through. What was the celebrations like back at the club?
Well, he was leaving them.
Yeah.
His family were leaving them, yeah.
About that, isn't he?
Brilliant, mate.
I got a phone call from the cab firm that took you home, Carl. He said, did I take you home on Saturday night? I was like, no, it weren't me, mate. I said, well, where did you go to? He went, oh, Romford area. I said, oh, well, what's up? He said, well, someone's left a coat in here. And he said, I've had an earache since, was all the singing and the cheering. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was our secretary, Colin. So yeah. I'm glad you had a good night, mate.
That was a great night for me and the family. I mean, I know my sister, she loved it, Tracy, holding that cup. Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Oh, 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, when we had Templin and all them, that was, she held the cup. And she's been on about it ever since. So got to do it this year. Just thank the boys for that. It was, you know, it was brilliant. Dan and all of this is unbelievable.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to take a bit of time to come down, isn't it? I mean, but you are going to be that team that next season, in the course, in the Essex City League, that everybody's going to want to beat. That's going to make it a little bit harder, Dan, isn't it?
We was this season.
We have been this. Yeah. We have been close to this season, especially in the last recent weeks. But I enjoy that. That's what you want to be. But you know, you want to have challenging games each week, and it might make the set. It's the games we've lost this year that I felt cost us the title, and I won't call them the lower sides because I don't believe in that. But teams who have finished near the bottom of the league, we lost too many games to them teams. So it's something we've got to learn as a squad. Me as a manager, make sure that we're right switched on for them games, because at any level of football, when people are up to try and beat you, and they it makes it a lot. It's 11 men versus 11 men. No matter how good you are, as I always say, win your battles, win your duels, and then your quality comes through. And it's just something, as a squad, with our experience as well, and how level some of the boys have played at, I think that's them games are the ones that cost us, just a few of the lower ones. But we'll learn from that for next year, hopefully.
Well, listen, all I would say, go on, mate. Go on, Steve.
So I think the challenge off the pitch is to get some of those 2,500 to come along at Rookery Hill next year. Mm. That's what we've got to do. We've got to build our support base. I mean, those youngsters from Thurrock really made some noise. I met them on Wembley Way as they was coming up, and they got involved in an interview that I did then, and they were singing throughout the game and what have you, and you know, sort of a lot of people said to me, oh, it's brilliant, it's amazing how many people, that was their first Romford game, if you like. And what we've got to try and do is tap into that, because if we can get some atmosphere and some noise behind the goal and some banter with other supporters and what have you, then we can grow the support. And that's what we really need. We've got two fan bases, really. We've got the fan base from Romford that will travel to the club, travel to watch the club anywhere. But we also now need to get the people from the Corrinham, Stamford, Lee Hope area to come down, because we might not be the local club by the name Romford, but we're the local club geographically. And what we want to do, you know, we really want to push on. You know, our attendances have gone up, but we should be really pushing past the 150 mark next season.
And have you done the deal yet with Scott and TNT for sponsorship for next year?
Thinking of doing a calendar, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm going to be April, May and June.
Listen, guys, all I can say to you guys is a massive thanks to Steve and, you know, and to Colin as well, because, you know, the day for me was absolutely outstanding. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I thought it was an absolutely outstanding day. You know, for me as well, I so enjoyed watching you guys play, and Rob has always had a soft spot in my heart, I'll be honest with you. And to see you guys pick that up on at the weekend was absolutely fantastic. And each one of you guys should be extremely proud of yourselves. You're a lovely bunch of lads, and do wish you all the very, very best for next season, and hope you get into that in the next season, maybe back at Wembley, and also into step four as well. I must say a big thank you as well, of course, to our sponsors, Repos again, and Paul Lansdale. Eagles chairman down at Sevenoaks, a massive thank you for their sponsorship for this season and, of course, for the last 3 or 4 years. Hopefully they'll be with us again next season. But this is the last episode of this season of the Repos Show, and we'll be back maybe with a couple of specials once the fixtures come out and a few other bits and bobs during the pre-season. But until August, really, a massive thank you to everybody that's been watching over the last few weeks and through the rest of the season. Massive congratulations again to Romford, and commiserations to Great Wakering. Thanks to Dan, to Ash, to Hassan, to Goa Hassan, we should say as well. Clean sheet, Jake. And of course, we've also got Mr. Captain, Mr. Newbie, and of course, Mr. Randy Autumn himself, Scott Doe as well. So a massive thank you as well for everybody coming on. And of course, and to the two legends in the middle, of course, the Romford boys. And I think if you probably cut them in half, they would bleed Romford. Of course they would. Of course, in Steve and in Colin. A massive thank you, guys, as well. And for me, just one more thing to say. Thank you and good night. So, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, David.